Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers podcast. This is Will from the Editing Bay, and I just wanted to let you guys know that this may confuse some of you because it was actually recorded August 29th. We're just getting the episode out now. There were some technical difficulties, and we actually didn't record an episode this week, so it kind of worked out. So this is going to talk about a pre-release primer and some of the cards from Dominaria United. To hear stories about the pre-release, make sure you tune in next Monday, where I'll go over my experiences there. So thanks for listening, and hope you enjoyed this episode of the Plains Talkers podcast. The show you're about to hear is a member of the Plains Talkers podcast network. To find out more, go to PlainsTalkersPodcast.com. Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my It's Almost Sportball Season co-host, Aramis Perez. Aramis, sir, how are you tonight?
It's been sportball season since April. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, that's baseball. That doesn't count.
It absolutely counts.
All right, but before we get started tonight, we want to remind you that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean open gaming areas available at all three locations, they're available to everyone. Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. They've got locations in Catskill and Poughkeepsie, New York. Those are Kerwin's game stores. And then they have their new store, Adventurer Way, to Nyack, New York. Kerwin's game store is the absolute best place to go in gaming. Now, they have an awesome website. You can find them at KGS Online. That is Kite Go Samuel, online.com. Or it also stands for Kerwin's Game Store. It's kind of funny how they did that. Don't forget, you get 5% off online orders when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout. Likewise, we want to take a second and recognize our rare level patrons. Spencer, Chiba Tank, Bell, Levi, Jake, Brian, Apollo, Muertes, Parkman, and Dragon D's Nuts. And we also want to recognize our producer level, John, Jamie, Vic, and Ian. We could not do this show without you. We really appreciate everything you guys do for us. It's amazing. We are getting ready. I just put it up in the Discord. We're still looking for two people for Wednesday. That's in our Patreon channel. They get first dibs. Tomorrow morning, I'll open it up to the rest of anyone who wants to play. It's Slivers, so that'll be fun. But check it out. Come and join us. Just find out more at patreon.com/planestalkers. Commander Craft is our Wednesday show that I was just talking about, where we play listeners like you using webcams over Spell Table in four-person Commander. To find out more, again, go to our Discord, discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. Finally, we want to remind you that we are the flagship podcast for the Plains Talkers Network of Podcasts. Our sister show, Cantrip Cartel, is doing very well. And they're on Anchor at anchor.fm/cantripcartel. And you can find them on most podcatchers, as well as hit them up on our Discord, which is where they hang out primarily. Finally, we're proud to announce we have joined to become a part of the Geek to Geek Media Network. This is a network of geeky podcasts dedicated to promoting positivity and inclusion, as well as just showcasing some really great stuff. You can find out more at geektogeekmedia.com, but we are still in Untap. And I'm celebrating the fact that my bottle opener is still working, if I can get it off of the rack. So, you know, I'm going to be opening yet another copy of Sam Adams Summer Ale. And then I will ask my friend Aramis, sir, how the hell are you?
I'm doing pretty well. We had a fantastic weekend. We went to Cooperstown for the weekend.
Oh, wow.
Took the boy to the Hall of Fame. Also went to the Farmers Museum that was there. walked around town a bunch. It was great. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. We left on Saturday morning, and we did the Farmers Museum first, spent about 3 or 4 hours there walking around doing everything, seeing the animals, learning about, you know, the history of farming in New York and just in general. And then we stayed at a nice motel on Otsego Lake.
Oh.
Then the next morning we went out and, walked through, did the baseball Hall of Fame, and probably got back around 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, 6:30. It was a lot of fun, a lot of good walking around. The weather was perfect. So yeah, couldn't have asked for a better weekend. It was really nice.
I love it, dude. I pretty much, again, we're getting the house ready for my father. So We got a lot done. I moved my entire living room around pretty much by myself, including remounting the television, which when it's a 65 inch, yeah, you know, that ain't easy. But I did it. I got it on and we got a better mount for it so it moves around. And then we kind of did a family movie night. We watched Maverick. Great flick. Really, you know, don't get me wrong. I realized something watching it like the second time through that, and I won't ruin it if you haven't seen it, but it's there's a whole lot of callbacks, like almost to the point where they just kind of remade Top Gun. And I was just like, the second or third time through, the first time I was like, wow, this is incredible, great. But the second or third time through, I started kind of poking a few holes in it going, huh, you did that one before. Yeah, and that too. You know, but for some reason, we kind of blast Star Wars for doing that with Force Awakens, but, you know, Maverick gets a pass. I don't know. It's a love of Tom Cruise. And then Sunday, dude, I think I did a pretty good draft. I had a draft. I picked fifth overall. I got it's a PPR league, just straight. So I got Justin Jefferson with my first overall, Leonard Fourcette with my second, and then Patrick Mahomes with the third round. I was like, okay, thanks. I picked up two Buffalo Bills, including their defense, and then two New York Jets, which, as a Dolphin fan, just hurt my heart immensely. But I've got Gabriel Davis, who I think is going to have a monster year. And then I picked up Juju Smith-Schuster, who I think with Mahomes is going to – he's either going to explode or he's going to be like the busted disbuster I've ever busted. You know, so I'm excited. It's a work league. It's kind of casual. There's no money or anything on the line, but – you know, for getting back into fantasy for the first time in, I think, 3 years, I haven't done it since the pandemic. I think the last time we played was 2019. So I'm looking forward to it and, you know, stuff like that. But that was kind of my weekend. It was just kind of like family and football. And I'm looking forward to the year. So, you know, it's all good. I'm glad you and your family had a good time. I have not been to the Baseball Hall of Fame yet. You know,
That's really nice.
I'm not a baseball guy. Like I used to be when I was a kid. And then, I don't know, something happened where I just kind of got bored with it. I don't know. Like I love watching it live. I'll go watch any sport live. I think that's, you know, going to watch something live is incredible. But trying to watch baseball on like TV, I just get lost. You know, I'm just like, so what's happening now? You know, it's not like football where something's kind of always happening. And it's definitely not like soccer where they consider a 0-0 game like a good game. And I just am like, well, that just sounds like a waste of time. So, but hockey. Anyway, we've got a pretty good show too tonight. So we're going to go into some more previews. We have, you know, we've got, I think, about six more card previews here tonight. And then we're just going to kind of give our thoughts on the set overall because I'm feeling pretty, you know, spoiler alert. It's a pretty good set. And then we'll get into main two. We're going to talk our pre-release primer tonight, which we usually do when the week before pre-release. Give you a few tips and ideas, and then we'll update you guys on where we are in the Winnebox tournament. But if you got nothing else, brother, we can go right into main phase.
Go for it.
All right, we're hitting it.
Main phase.
All right, main phase. So... as we did last week, and as we are wont to do, we're going to go over some card previews here. So if you're watching the video, we'll have stuff on the screen. If you're listening in your car, I want you to use the power of your mind. But we're basically just going to go through a few things here of what we've got going on. Aramis and I both kind of picked three cards, or at least card archetypes, to kind of talk about here. So I think I am kicking us off this time. We're going to talk a little bit. I picked Heroic Charge as my kind of common. It is a two colorless, two white with a one red kicker. So a colorless and a red kicker. And it says basically creatures you control. It's an instant and creatures you control get +2/+1 until end of turn. If the spell was kicked, those creatures also gain trample until end of turn. It's a basic spell. I think it's a little high costed for what it is. I almost didn't choose it, but I really like the kicker. I think this is a good finisher card. I don't think this is one of those cards like you would play early on, obviously, because for four mana, it's a little bit overcosted, but I definitely like the kicker aspect. I like the idea. If you're going to pay this much, giving plus two and trample, you know, that's a good deal. What you think?
Yeah, it's a very overcosted overrun when you kick it, because overrun is two and three green and it gives your creatures plus three in trample, although that's right. Sorcery speed. But yeah, this is a limited card. It's not going to see any play in any constructed format.
I don't think so either.
But it's one of those cards where if you have a pretty wide board, you can go in for, you know, kind of an alpha strike if you think you can get through with enough creatures. You know, it's one of the cards that basically says math is for blockers. You make your guys huge, or you surprise your opponent by, you know, I'm attacking with some of these creatures. Okay. Oh, I could take six more damage. It's no big deal. Oh, no, sorry. You're actually taking 14.
Yeah. And that's kind of, and I also think it's kind of commander-ish, like where mana really doesn't matter. You know, like.
There are much better options for the mana.
Okay. I just figured it would be an extra one of in a white deck, especially like a white Voltron deck, where to give
it can't
trample.
It can't be white. It's got to be Boros. It's a kicker.
Yeah, that's true.
It can only be Boros. So there's tons. If you're doing this, you might as well just play Embercleave.
Exactly. So I definitely I liked it. It wasn't perfect. It was like I said, it's a little overcosted, but I kind of wanted to show something like this that's also kind of designed for that. It feels commanderish, but there's better options even on a budget. Yeah, exactly. Nameless Bun Bun. I you know, it kind of seemed like a fun little card. So let's take your first one here. So I put it up there. So
sure. So this is Bite Down. It's an instant common. For one and a green, target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to target creature or planeswalker you don't control. So it's green burn. Green's lightning strike for the set. They normally get like a fight effect or a bite effect in this case.
Yeah.
They don't typically hit planeswalkers, so that's why this one was a little more interesting. It gives you an option to be able to zap a planeswalker without having to attack it. So, you know, I like the versatility there. And it's a nice solid card. Again, something that's unlimited. I don't think it's going to see much played constructed. If you're drafting in green, this is one of those cards you're going to want to pick up a few copies of, because it's going to be really solid removal for you.
I think it could see some play in standard. I think it definitely could see some play in standard. Because there's some things out there that can get just away from you. I think too, some of the planeswalkers that are out there, like Obnixilis, et cetera, having an ability to kind of to get through that Wandering Emperor. You know, the fact that it's instant speed, sure, cast your Wandering Emperor, I'm going to nail it in response to you triggering its plus one. You know, this has, I think it's a sideboard. I think it's definitely more of a sideboard card. But I think this does see play in some standard. Do I think it's in every green deck? No. But I think you're sleeping a little bit on this, in that I think this is really good. I mean, it's a standard green spell, but it's not fighting, so you're not taking damage. These are the kind of spells I like when I use these. Is I don't like the ones that say I have to fight something so that I take damage from them. I'd much prefer just to hit you with it. So I think this will see some play. Do you think it shows up in Commander?
No.
Okay.
No, not. I mean, it's possible, but again, this is a little pushed. But there might be options where I'd have to look, but I think there's an option that does something similar to this for one mana. But if not, you know, it might see some play, like maybe like Death Touch Tribal.
Yeah.
Because then your one power creature can kill, you know, Vorin Klex or whatever.
Yes. Well, and then Parkman's saying Quarian Beast Caller should be in every deck. That's an interesting card. I don't think I can get it on the screen. But it's a one and a green creature, rare. Whenever you cast a creature spell, put a 1/1 counter on Quarian Beast Caller. When Quarian Beast Caller dies, distribute X 1/1 counters among any number of target creatures you control, where X is the number of 1/1 counters on Quarian Beast Caller. That is an interesting. That's not a bad card. You're not wrong there. I like that card. And it's a 2/2 for two. Like, it's actually pretty evenly costed. That's going to go in Atraxa, I think. Because I like moving counters. So, Good call on that, Parkman. Thank you. My second one, I chose a rare. This one is kind of, I like this one a lot. I like this one because of some of the kickers it's doing. It's Archangel of Wrath. It's two colorless, two white, with a blue or with a black or a red kicker. So it is a 3/4 flying angel, has flying and lifelink. When it enters the battlefield, if it was kicked, do two damage to any target. When Archangel of Wrath enters the battlefield, if it was kicked twice, it deals two damage to any target. So it's almost like multi-kicker. But you basically, it, and it doesn't mean you have to have separate colors. If I am playing, you know, an Orzhov deck, I could still kick this for two black, and it does it twice.
No.
You may pay an additional black and or red as you cast a spell.
Yeah, and or red, not black and or black and or red.
No, you can do black-black.
No, you cannot do black-black.
I think...
black and or red.
Right, but it was kickers black and or red.
Yeah, you kick it once for black or twice for black-red.
I are you sure about that? Because I thought
I'm 100% sure. Okay.
All right, because I read somewhere that... All right, Aramis is right. Okay, well, it becomes a little less
popular. Because the way that's worded, it said if it was any combination of black and or red, then you could do black-black. But since it's just additional black and or red, it's either one black, one red, or a black and a red.
Okay.
Which still means you can kick it twice and deal four damage to target to two different targets, gain four life because it's damage coming from the creature, so it has lifelink. And if you don't want to do that, it's still a 3/4 flying lifelink for four, which isn't terrible. So it's a very versatile card. You could potentially kill two creatures with it. But to maximize its effect, you do have to be playing Mardu.
Yeah. Okay. I read this as it's either or, so I apologize.
It is either or, just not two of one or two of another.
Right. Okay.
It's a mixture of the two, and it depends on whether or not you want to kick it once or twice. If it's twice, then you have to use both colors.
Yeah. Well, that still works. So, all right. But I like it. I like that it's lifelink, and yeah, there's so much about, you know, not so much in Mardu, but. Yeah, I am definitely. I'd still jam this. I think in at least an angel deck.
There's blink shenanigans that you can do that are white. And then there's, you know, graveyard shenanigans in red and black. And then there's things you can do.
Yeah,
you know, if it's red, there's things that double damage or triple damage. It's not a red source, so Torben doesn't work with it. But Furnace of Wrath and Fiery Emancipation work. So,
that,
you know,
that would be nice.
Deals six damage to one, six damage to something else, and then when you attack, it attacks for nine.
Yep. I'm liking this card. I think it'll see play in some standard. I definitely think it'll see it'll sit in an angel deck if they've got a Mardu angel. But is there a Mardu angel? Other than her? Well, she's not legendary.
No, she's not legendary, but there's Kalia.
Oh, Kalia is Mardu, isn't she? You're right.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, then. Moving on to your next card.
Yep. The next card I picked is a reprint. It's Impulse.
But what a
reprint. For those of you who don't know, it's an instant for one and a blue. You look at the top four cards of your library, put one into your hand, and the rest in the bottom of your library in any order. The interesting thing is that when this was first printed in Visions, you actually shuffled your library first. They ended up removing that text later on because they realized that shuffling your library doesn't do anything with this because then you're putting the cards on the bottom. So now it's just look at the top four, pick one that goes in your hand, the other three go on the bottom. This is going to see play in Eternal formats. And I think in some instances it already does, but it's now, you know, in Pioneer, I think it'll see play big time.
Yeah.
Explore, it'll see play. It'll see play in Standard. It's a good card in Limited. This is just one of those all around solid, good card selection cards.
It's a blue spell. It's a beautiful blue spell.
It's cheap. It's good at what it does, and it gives you some good card selection. So I'm happy to see it back. It's solid. So it's a really good reprint, and it's a common. So it's not expensive.
No. I like it too. I've seen it. I've used it in a few decks. It's a solid good card. It lets you kind of, you know, not tutor, but you're getting a little further down in your deck. I think this will see some play in Standard as well. It's a good card draw spell in Standard. There's not a ton of them right now as because we're going through rotation, so a bunch of stuff is dropping out. Hey, Dilla, how are you?
Digging four deep is very good for two mana.
Yeah, especially in a 60 card. I mean, in a 40 card, in limited too, it's also very good. You're 10% through your deck. Mm-hmm. So I think this will see a lot of play all the way around. It's very interesting that it has Teferi on it. I mean, I'm still kind of amazed. You know, spoiler alert, we'll talk in the second part, but like, no Teferi Planeswalker. I'm like, that's interesting. I'm not sure if they're saving him for the next chapter or what, but I was very surprised because, I mean, he's been on some of the media and stuff. So I'm excited, though. It's a good card. My next card, my last card, is Soul of Windgrace. So it's for one colorless and then a black, red, or green. So Jund, I do believe.
Yeah.
And basically, it is a legendary creature, Cat Avatar. Whenever Soul of Windgrace enters the battlefield or attacks, you may put a land card from a graveyard onto the battlefield tapped under your control. Pay a green, discard a land card, you gain 3 life. A red and a colorless, discard a land card, draw a card. Black and 2 colorless, discard a land card. Soul of Windgrace gains indestructible until end of turn and tap it. Yeah, this is obviously not necessarily a standard card. But good card. Solid commander card. It's going to find a place in some landfall decks. It's going to find a thing probably anywhere they have fetches because you can now bring your fetches back.
You can also bring your opponent's fetches back.
Yes, exactly. So I love this card. I think this card is solid. I love the stained glass art that they use for this. I mean, really, what's not to say? This I might try to make a commander deck out of this somehow. Because with the graveyard recursion, with it bringing black, it's one of the few things Omnath, Locus of Creation can't do. You know, I'm still wondering when they're going to bring in the fifth color Omnath. But
I was just going to mention that. I thought there's a theory floating around that I think has a lot of merit to it.
Yeah.
So this sort of delves into the lore a little bit. But one of the things that the Phyrexians, you know, we saw them on a bunch of different planes.
Yeah.
And what they were doing was that they were gathering information and items from other planes. And the thing that Vorinclex grabbed from Kaldheim was a seed from the World Tree. And what they're and some Tyrite as well, the stuff that makes the gods of Kaldheim immortal. And what they're doing is they built a weapon called the Realmbreaker, and it's basically a Phyrexian World Tree. And it's how they're going to get around not being able to planeswalk. So they're going to connect this tree to a bunch of different planes. And one of the planes, if you look at the art from some of the sets coming up, there's Hedrons, which means Zendikar. So people are thinking, okay, 5-color Omnath is going to be a Phyrexian Omnath.
Wow.
Which would make sense.
I don't like that.
So it would probably be like Omnath Locus of Completion.
Yeah. You know what? You're probably right about that. Somebody write that down. I will not be surprised if that happens. That actually, that sounds like moral sense of humor.
And it also sounds terrifying. So,
oh yeah, like, could you imagine 5-color Omnath that you could pay life for if it's all Phyrexian mana?
4-color Omnath was banned 5 minutes after it was released in Standard. This one's probably going to get banned 2 months before the set's released.
Where do you think it would show up?
It's going to show up either. It's probably going to show up in March of the Machine.
Yeah.
Either that, or Phyrexia all will be one.
Yeah.
One of the two. Because I don't think it'll show up in the Aftermath one.
No.
I think it'll show up because it's going to be. I think it's going to show up in the first of the two March of the Machine sets. Because that was
think
where
it
some
could
of
go in all will be one. I think that would be a good time.
It could, but I think it makes more sense in March of the Machine because that was the one where some of the preview art showed like Bulbarigmos and Baral and Chandra. And Asika all fighting together, which I think is amazing. First of all, it's nice to see that Asika didn't die. I thought she died.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's where I'm going with my little lore headcanon. So you heard it here first in the Planeswalkers podcast. Omnath, Locus of Completion.
Yeah. Five Phyrexian mana, one of each color.
That would be interesting. Yeah, I could see that.
Yep. I think so. It'll cost you 10 life to get it out if you don't have any mana. Oh my God, turn one.
Turn one commander, yeah. Pay 10 life. And somebody swords to plowshares it, and you're like, ah, hell.
Ah, shit. Oh my God, could you imagine though? Because that I can't imagine they could do that with Commander. Holy
No,
cow.
I don't think they'll do that. I think what they'll do is it'll be Wooburg, but just the black will be Phyrexian.
Yeah, maybe
Or
that's.
it'll be like hybrid Phyrexian. It's gonna be interesting. But yeah. It's gonna be five color Omnath. The fifth color is gonna be Phyrexian. He's gonna be a Phyrexianized Omnath. He's gonna be like one of their secret weapons that they
Yeah.
picked up.
Because again, I've said it before and I'll say it again, since they're doing time travel, and I mean, I'm not spoiling anything. It takes you 6 seconds to read what's happening and you're like, oh, they're gonna time travel. So they can undo literally anything they want. I mean, could you imagine if they just roll it all the way back to War of the Fucking Spark? And they're like, yeah, Nicol Bolas isn't dead anymore. Ha
Well,
ha.
there's a theory about that too. They roll it back to Nicol Bolas to get his help
Ooh.
because they're losing so bad. So it's the whole thing where, like in the Marvel universe, they went to Loki and he's like, "Oh, it's gotten so bad, we've come to me."
Oh, wow. That's an interesting thought. I don't know that they'd
You
go
know,
that far, but I'd love to see it. Like,
they don't have to go
I
back
think
that
they got to
far.
find a way to bring, I think they have to find a way to bring, him back.
Well, they didn't
And
kill him, remember?
yeah.
So
Hey, Dave, how are you?
there's absolutely a good chance that he will be back at some point. I do feel like that would be too soon to bring him back.
Yeah. Because we still
But
need some time away from him. He was a little bit everywhere.
yeah,
Nicol Bolas was just
let the
everywhere.
Phyrexians shine. Let them win
Yeah.
for a while, and then we'll go back and put get the Infinity Stones back from where they were, and then put them back into the Quidditch, and then fire them at the Death Star. Oh wait, that's the
Right.
wrong lore.
No, that's all the right lore. And then, Mal Reynolds will steal it. Moving on. So all right, let's you have the last slide, sir, and I love how you've been doing this. And your last slide is
So the last set of cards that we're talking about is the common cycle of lands that come into play tapped, and they have basic land types. So it's Geothermal Bog, which is a swamp mountain, Haunted Mire, which is a swamp forest, Idyllic Beachfront, which is a plains island, Molten Tributary, which is an island mountain, Wooded Ridgeline, which is a mountain forest, Radiant Grove, which is a forest plains, Sacred Peaks, which is a mountain plains, Sunlit Marsh, which is a plain swamp, Tangled Isles, which is a forest island, and Contaminated Aquifer, which is an island swamp. These are
So, Aramis,
fetchable.
these all come in tapped. What's the big deal about these? Like, really? At the end of the
Well,
day, they come in tapped. What's the big deal?
at the end of the day, they're the best tap lands ever printed.
I know they are. I'll
They
set
are
you up.
fetchable.
That's the key. They're fetchable.
They're fetchable. They work with the set's theme of domain.
Yep.
And I mean, coming into play tapped isn't that huge of a drawback. Obviously, you don't want to play too many of these, but these will find a home in Commander very
Right.
easily. There is an artifact in the Commander set that lets th it says if a land if a permanent land on the battlefield tapped, untap it. So you can have budget duels with these that come into play untapped. There's
Right.
also the what the heck's the name of that the amulet? Amulet of
Amulet of
Vigor
Vigor.
also untaps things when if they come into play tapped. So
Yeah.
these are abusable. You can abuse these and get them in untapped, which then makes them into Volcanic Island and Taiga and Tundra and all the
Yes.
other good stuff. You have to jump through some hoops, but they're fetchable, like I said. They have basic land types, so cards care about that stuff. So if you're playing in green and you play like a Skyshroud Claim, you can grab a Radiant Grove and a Tangled Isle because they're both forests.
Exactly. I do like these two. The fact that they're fetchable, the fact that they're named, they're not the cycle lands, which I kind of half thought they were going to try to do, because usually that's what they do when they want to kind of have the dual lands with the names on them. But I'm kind of glad they just went through and made some basics, like that don't really have any special abilities except they're named. So, yeah, you're going to see these in this. These will find a home in some commander decks, especially people who may not have access to shock lands yet or things of that nature, because
They're like I said, you're not gonna play You'll play these maybe in two or three color decks at the most. I don't see them so much in four and five color decks. And even if you do, you might only play certain ones, like the one where like you have the most of that color, something like that. Maybe you'll play like one or two of them. But they
like
definitely have
other deck. I don't have many black. I don't have many swamps. Yeah. I would jam a few in here that have duels for swamps. So.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, like, you know, they're better than the gates.
Yes.
Unless you're building a gates deck, they're better than the lands that gain you a life. They're on par with the scry lands because scrying is powerful, but having a basic land type is really good too. The lands that, and it basically like the snarls, these are better than snarls. They're good. They're not like backbreaking or by any means, but they're also a common. So they're going to be showing up a lot. So they're going to be dirt cheap to get. And like you said, for somebody on a budget, these are fantastic. So these are cards that I hope if they ever go back to core sets, these need to be the tap lands that get printed in those core sets, not the ones that gain you life.
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment. I'm glad to see these. I'm thinking very seriously that it's a very good thing that they've done with this. Overall, I mean, it is useful. I think these will find a home a little bit even in Pioneer, maybe not as much.
Maybe, I don't know.
Well, I'm starting to wonder.
There's no fetch lands in Pioneer.
That's what I mean. I'm starting to wonder if this is like them kind of starting to march toward putting fetches in Pioneer. Because the cost of fetches are coming down. Okay,
they're
well,
not
because
they don't want the shuffling. Yeah, they don't want people shuffling that much. Yeah. DC, the reason why people think the snarls are bad is because to get them untapped, you have to reveal another card, which gives away information. And it's almost the equivalent of having to discard a card to have them come into play untapped. And in a competitive setting, that's just, you don't give away information if you can avoid it. And even if it is just a land, your opponent doesn't know that.
Right.
So why would you give away free information to your opponent just to get an untapped land when there are much better options out there?
Oh.
The snarls just aren't that great.
So yeah, I would have to, I agree wholeheartedly. I think they're, oh, look at that. Even Pam's getting like highs from the listeners. All right. Yeah, I kind of have to agree with you on that as far as the snarls go. At first I was like, it's not a big deal. If they see me play down the red blue snarl, they're gonna figure I'm in, is it? Blah. And so if I show them a mountain, it's like, yeah, but you don't wanna show too often, especially if you're playing it later. And say you only have two or three cards in your, you know, and you want to represent a counterspell, you don't want to show that one of my cards is a, you know, Vineyard Snarl. You'd rather, you know, just be like, yeah, no, I might have.
Well, and like Nameless is saying, in a singleton format, you may not have a basic land to let them come in untapped.
Right. So,
especially if you're in like three, four, five colors, you generally play a handful of basics, if that, and then now these lands come into play tapped 80% of the time. So it's just, you're better off playing Pathways, you're better off playing fast lands or the new lands. The lands from Innistrad are really good. And then these lands are better than them. I mean, if it's going to be a deck where most of your, if your two colored lands are going to come into play tapped, you might as well be able to fetch them.
Right.
And then you can get them at the end of end of somebody else's turn with a fetch land, and that way coming into play tap doesn't really affect you as much. Exactly. And then if you need an untapped land, you still have the option that since you're fetching, you can still get the untapped land. Like the only tap lands I think that might be slightly better than this would be the snow tap lands, because the snow matters stuff,
right? And they're not basic, but are they named? They're named too, right?
Yeah, they have land types.
Okay.
Because I have a couple of those in my Zakama deck, kind of sort of standing in for the original duels, because I would eventually like to get the original duels, but I don't feel like proxying them.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to take out a small business loan together? And we can just...
If I save up for about 6 months, I can get one.
Really? Oh, yeah, one. But how do you get a set?
I only need three.
Oh, that's true. All right. So moving on, though, that was our preview. There are a lot more cards out there, guys. There are a lot of other, you know, places that you should go to check that out, and definitely check out scryfall.com, which is where I grabbed the images from today. You know, they have the whole set available there to take a look at. But I really kind of wanted to talk with Aramis about, you know, we haven't had a lot of time to talk about our thoughts on the set now that everything's out there. like, how do you feel about this set?
It's not as crazy as I was worried it was going to be.
Okay.
I was worried that it was going to be Thorn of Eldraine.
Oh.
Not necessarily Thorn of Eldraine, but like one of those types of sets where it's like, I'm the powerful set, build around me. And it, I don't think it's that. It's solid. I think it's a solid set. It's a Dominaria set. It's really balanced. I think it's very well put together. The story is good. The artwork is fantastic as always. The stained glass lands are amazing. Bringing back Kicker is always, bringing back Kicker is, you know, always a good thing. All the callbacks that are in the set, you know, to an old school Magic player like me, it's really nice to see. Heck, there's a card that has a Spirit Monger on the art, and it's like, I was kind of hoping that there would be a new Spirit Monger in the set, but there's still time. Yeah. There's still more sets coming. So, I really like this set. I think it's not going to hit it out of the park, I think, with financials, but that's not what I'm after. There's really good reprints. The mana's looking really good. So I'd give it like an 8 out of 10.
Are you going to get a collector booster box? Because I'm planning to for box opening.
I cannot.
Okay, so set boosters.
I cannot.
Okay, so we're going to use the box we get from Garwitz.
Probably.
All right, that works. I really do like the set. For everything you said, it does feel like what you want the first set of rotation to be. It is slightly built around. Because that was the problem I think a lot of us had with Midnight Hunt, is that Midnight Hunt felt very underwhelming for a rotation set. You weren't getting a lot of the toys we were losing inside there. I don't know about anybody else felt that way, but it was certainly how I felt, like that we were losing more than we were gaining. This is the first time in a while where I feel like at rotation, to split on stream. Nice. I like the, I like the whole set. It feels a little more powerful than Midnight Hunt. I mean, the fact that we're getting Lightning Strike back into standard is a very good thing. It's a card that's been missing. I think Wizards tried for the last 2 years to find something to replace it. They had that frozen lightning bolt for a while and then, you know, something else, and you just can't beat it. I mean, the only better card would be Bolt, but they'll never put Bolt back in standard. So, I mean, I half expected with Lightning Strike to see the Birds of Paradise. I would have liked to have seen that, I think. I think that was a card I was missing. And I feel like there were some cards I would have liked to have seen them bring back. I was surprised they didn't have a Teferi Planeswalker. I was very, very, very surprised they didn't have a Teferi Planeswalker.
That'll likely be in Brothers War.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. That's probably because how they'll use to get to time.
Well, that's how they kind of left off with the story, if you remember, is that Teferi found they went to one of Urza's towers, and there was something in there that amplified Planeswalker's abilities, and he literally went back in time.
Yeah, so
because he was trying to learn how to recreate the Silex so they could use it in New Phyrexia because it got destroyed.
Right. So I get it. I guess I would have liked to have seen a Teferi's Search or something. You know, like, to not have a card named Teferi in this set, in the Dominaria set, felt like a missed opportunity.
Well, this set's about the invasion. This set's about Ajani being revealed as a sleeper agent. This set's about Jaya being killed and Dominaria, you know, being in trouble. The next set is going to be about Teferi trying to figure out and find out everything that he needs to get the Silex back, and then probably him coming back with the Phyrexians having won.
Right. Which is why All Will Be One, and is it spelled WON, isn't it?
No.
Oh, is it? All Will Be ONE? Okay.
Yeah, All Will Be One.
All right. But I definitely, you know, I like the set. I do think the power level is a little amped. I'm glad it's not been as tame as it's been. I like the mechanics. I like the kickers and multicolors. I like the domain idea.
Liliana the Veil.
I like Liliana the Veil being back in standard and Pioneer. The fact that the Pioneer gets access to her, that's going to move the needle in Pioneer. I'm definitely enjoy. I'm looking forward to the set. I'm going to get a collector booster box, that's for sure. And I'll obviously get the one we get from Kerwin's. You know, but overall, I think, you know, if I was going to give it a rating, I think I'd probably give it a solid 7. There are things that I would have liked to have seen, but there were, you know, I really like what they're doing so far. I think they are heading in the right direction. They obviously powered down after what happened with Eldraine. And so I'm all for kind of a, you know, repowering up to get to the climax. So any other thoughts?
Nope. That pretty much covers everything for me.
All right. So let's go ahead real quick. We'll take a quick break, come back, and we'll talk a little pre-release.
When toxic culture has you down.
When you're just looking to laugh and have fun.
Kick back and enjoy watching a video game.
Or just make some new friends.
It's time to visit the Geek to Geek Media Network,
a community of podcasters, streamers, and bloggers.
Well, more of a family than a community.
All dedicated to geeking out about the things we love. Things like
video games,
Star Wars,
comics,
movies,
K-pop,
Disney Plus,
Keanu Reeves,
new,
or whatever our community decides is the next best thing.
That's right. We have a great online community on Slack and Discord where we chat about our weekly geekery with listeners and viewers.
And each other.
Yep, and each other in real time. And we can't wait for you to join us.
So come check us out at geek2geekmedia.com.
And escape toxic fandom for something much more...
Keanu?
Yes, Keanu.
Combat phase. And we skip combat and go right to
main phase.
And no, Dilla. No, Dilla. We cannot give you a $50 patron skip button. Every week, this guy asks for that. Watch that it comes out that they had a Teferi plan, but had to take him out because he was too broken even in playtesting and they couldn't fix him in time. Somebody suggested that. Somebody thought that they had a Teferi with this. But don't forget that they were testing, when they were testing this, it was likely right after Throne of Eldraine, and somebody was like, no, that's Oko. No. But, yeah. So let's talk a little pre-release primer. We do like to do this right before the pre-release. You know, this is where we tell you, you need to go to your local game store this weekend. Okay, there are lots of opportunities. Everybody's open. The pandemic is long gone. You got to go. You definitely got to go to your LGS this Friday. It is pre-release. It'll be a draft. Is there any special things going on with the pre-release kits, Aramis? They're not doing, like, colors or anything like that. Like, a draft pack's a draft pack, right?
Not as far as I know, no.
Okay. So, definitely, first, again, choose a game store. Find it. Check your Facebooks. Check your interwebs. I don't think Magic lets you search anymore. They used to. You used to be able to search for local game stores, but... Make sure you go to a game store this weekend. It's sealed. That's what I meant. Sealed pack, not draft pack. Make sure you go to a game store if you get your chance this weekend, guys. You know, pick one. Everybody's cool. Pre-releases are always fun. There's not a lot of tryhards going on. I mean, you're trying to win, but, you know, this also brings out a lot of the casuals. It brings out a lot of kids. So, oh, and on WPN, you can search by zip code. Woohoo! So definitely check that out. We've got a lot in this Albany area here, so, you know, you can't go 6 feet without hitting one, so definitely check it out. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, strategy. So, Aramis, like, we say it every time, but why don't you tell people, like, what a pre-release is and how it works and thoughts on that?
Sure. So, when you go to a pre-release, if you've never been to one before, you are going to be getting a pre-release kit. Inside that pre-release kit is typically 6 draft booster packs, along with a promo card, which is going to be any rare or mythic in the set. You generally are allowed to use that promo card in your deck. So hopefully, you get a really cool one that you can use. What you do is you open up your 6 booster packs when the time comes. You build a 40-card limited deck, and you... play a few rounds against your friends and people you haven't met yet, and it's kind of casual. Generally, the stores will give up packs depending on how you do. It's some of the bigger stores. If it's a bigger event, you might even be able to get like upwards of a box, or maybe a little less than a box. But it's a great way to spend an afternoon or evening or early morning if you're like some of stores and do midnight pre-releases. And play some magic. But generally you want 23 non-land cards, 17 lands. That can go slightly up or down for the land count depending on, you know, how aggressive your deck ends up being or controlish your deck ends up being. You want about 15 or so creatures, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. You're going to want about 8 spells. Again, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, depending on what you open. If you open nothing but removal, hey, that helps too.
you're kind of the asshole of the tournament, but yes.
It wins. It
does, works.
It generally it does well. If your deck is packed with removal, I mean, that's kind of how I went undefeated at the new Capenna pre-releases. I just had a ton of removal and a couple of really good card draw spells, and that's what really pushed me over the top. And then the creatures that I opened were pretty efficient.
Yeah, and then two weeks later when we went back for Commander, they're like, no, we had to stop this guy. He went undefeated. Everybody go at pile on it. It's like, oh shit.
You're gonna want creatures with evasion. You're gonna want creatures that are, you know, gonna survive combats or help you, you know, advance your plan to win the game. Things with flying are really good. Reach, first strike, death touch, you know, stuff like that. If you open a planeswalker, most of them are going to be pretty good. Karn, I don't think, is going to be that great and limited. I don't think he doesn't really do anything on his own.
No.
So I hope you don't open that in your pre-release kit.
Oh, yeah.
I hope you don't open Karn in your pre-release kits because he's not a limited card.
No. And I'd stay away from Domain, I think. In a pre-release, I think 40 cards with 5 color.
The lands are there. The lands are there.
They're there, but
you could pull it off. You could definitely pull it off. It'll be difficult to do, but generally, yeah, you want to stick to 2, maybe 3 colors. This set looks like it's going to want you to go 3 colors.
Right, kind of like New Capenna did. New Capenna was designed for 3.
Yeah, you can definitely go 5 colors in this if you wanted to. I mean, it's going to be somewhat dependent on opening the tap lands that are common. If you happen to get some of the rare lands, that's great. I mean, Crystal Grotto taps for any colors that can fix your mana a little bit. That's a common land. There's a rare land that is a gate that becomes a basic, whatever basic land type you want it to be. And then it turns into City of Brass at that point. So there's plenty of fetching. There's a good amount of fixing. So it multiple colors should not be hard to do. And Domain is a mechanic of the set. So if you can go 5 colors, that works.
Yeah. For me, I think we kind of went through a few of them. Core and Beast Caller would be one I would, you know, there are some in there that you were like, that are kind of limited bombs. And he pulls up his Dominary set release here. But yeah, like Karn, stay away from. Obviously, Liliana of the Veil. Thank you, Jesus. Impulse, like Eremis was saying earlier, really good as far as, especially in a 40-card deck, being able to get down, you know, 4 deep. Any other ones you could think of? I mean, there is a lot of removal in this set. As far as
big, crazy mythics are concerned, Rith, Liberated Primeval is really good.
There's one legendary. Yeah,
there's a legend in every pack. So again, and a lot of those legends are going to be multicolored. It's going to point you in that direction. But Rith is a 6/6, a 5/5 flyer for 2, a red, green, and a white with flying and ward 2. Gives your other dragons ward 2. And at the beginning of your end step, if a creature or planeswalker an opponent controls was dealt excess damage this turn, you get a 4/4 red dragon flying creature token. So, I mean, it's a bomb.
Red is really good. This is now like red. Rith is 3 color, but red itself is looking pretty good.
There's good stuff all over the place. So hopefully you open some crazy good cards. If not, there's a way you can build around stuff. Yavimaya Iconoclast is really kind of cool. It's a 3/2 trample for 2 mana. If you kick it, it gets a +1/+1 and haste on end of turn. So for 3 mana, That's a 4-3 trample haste, which is pretty good. So there's lots of good stuff out there.
I like the Shivan Devastator because it's kind of as big as you need it to be.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good card. It could be aggressive, or it could be a late game bomb. I mean, you pay 3 mana, it's a 2-2 flyer. You pay 8 mana, it's a 7-7.
Yeah.
And flying, it's a flying and haste, or flying trample haste? Flying and haste.
Flying haste.
Yeah, so flying and haste. I mean, and it's a dragon. Hey, if you open that plus Wrath, there you go. And then you can give it ward.
Yep. Let's see. What else have we got through here? I like Vesuvian Diplomacy for limited, obviously. Like, that's... Mm-hmm. Whenever you cast a spell that targets only a single artifact or creature you control, create a token that's a copy of that. In limited, that's a pretty good thing to have around. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Anything else that we can kind of think of that, like, if you open it, you know, try to stay in those color. I like Urtai Resurrected. Well, it has flash. It's 4, so it's Dimir. When it enters the battlefield, choose up to 1 counter target spell, activated ability, or triggered ability. Its controller draws a card. Or you can destroy another target creature or planeswalker, and its controller draws a card. Just nice little, like, you know.
It's a removal spell, yeah.
Yeah. So, let's see. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in this set. Leyline Binding is good removal.
Yeah, this is a fantastic limited set, and that really that fits the bill of Dominaria. The last Dominaria was a great limited environment. This is looking like a great limited environment. So, you know, Dominaria was the set that I went 52-1, so.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Wow.
Never concede your games, folks.
Wow. Yeah, I was up 52. For those that don't remember this lovely story that we told on our 100th show. I was told it on our 52nd show. That's right.
That's right.
I was up 52 points. Aramis had won. And he came back and won the fracking game. Well, I mean, too, like... when we were at Glenmont, that was what we did. Like, we got him to buy a couple of boxes of Dominaria, and we did like a sealed tournament, didn't we?
Yeah, it was 10. It was like, it was like 8 or 10 of the bundles.
Yeah. It was fantastic. Like, mm-hmm. I'm very, you know, I love this set. But yeah, you're definitely, you know, for me, I try really hard to limit my colors, because I hate lands. You know, but yeah. And don't worry about bringing basic lands. A lot of people do. I like to have my own basics because I like to play with, like, the full art basics and, you know, bling it out a little bit. But, you know, if you don't bring lands, the LGS usually has them. Just make sure you sleeve them up, and then you take them out of your sleeves when you're done. You know, LGSs, they do, some of them do some crazy stuff at pre-release. Like, I know Kerwin's does Two-Headed Giant usually, like, on Saturday or Sunday. They used to, anyway. Some stores like to do crazy stuff like that. I know Dave's doing a midnight pre-release at Flights 2. Kerwin's is doing one, I think it's 6. Professor Bonds is also, I think, 6. I don't know about Zombie Planet. I'm just going around here. I know Chris, I think, is doing one out at Gamers Revolt as well. So, there, you know, go to your local game store. Maybe if you can go to two. You know, I'm going to probably hit one Friday evening. I'd love to do a midnight pre-release, but I'm 48 years old, and midnight to me might as well be 4 in the morning. So I tend to get grouchy. I got grouchy last time when they were like making a stay for new, you know, the one before New Capenna. And I'm like, really? You gotta be shitting me. Really? We're playing 6 rounds and we're starting at 8. What are you?
Oh, that was New Capenna. That was New Capenna.
Yeah, was it? Okay.
Yeah. Cause they had the hit at Sugu. They were raffling off.
I was like, what the frackin' fuck is this? I cannot do this. Oh, I hated my life. I'm just too damn... I'm sorry, I'm old. I'm wicked, wicked old. I like my sleep. I also like to shoo kids off my lawn and eat peanut brittle. All right, I hate peanut brittle. So, but that's kind of what's going on there. So any questions or thoughts, let us know. You know, we'd be glad to help, you know, as best we can. And again... we are by casuals for casuals. So if you're sitting out there and you're annoyed by our advice, or you think we're just terrible and we're getting cards wrong, well, that's what casuals do. So, you know, yeah. COVID. But let's go ahead and real quick, we'll just touch a bit on, I want to touch a little bit on the Winnabox because it's getting close to wrap up. I think we have our first, maybe our first finalist, I want to say, or maybe at least top four, our first final four. Let's see here. So I'm pulling it up. Yeah, we have Bowfinger in Kentucky. We have our final four. Our final four is Bowfinger Fan versus Kinetic. And Vamp Demigod, so Nameless Bun Bun, facing Ogpear. Now, really funny thing happened in that Bowfinger somehow left the Discord on Friday. Whoops. Yeah, like I reached out to him because I was like, and you know, Kinetics, he's like, what am I going to do? I'm like, well, I'm going to give him the time. Like, so I reached out. I'm like, did you mean to leave? Like, if you did, like, whatever we did, I'm really sorry. But he's like, no, I don't know how that happened. So he's back in. He's going to be, you know, him and Kinetic, I think, are going to try to. I gave him an extra couple of days for that because I'm like, I can't prove that he didn't do it. So I'm going to go with giving him the benefit of the doubt. So they'll have until, like, I think Wednesday. And Ogpear and all that started on the 27th, so 2 days ago. But I think they're trying to get, they're trying to get it sooner than later. So, okay, good. So we should be done by next week, which would be nice to be able to send the Winnabox out when the set releases in 2 weeks. So definitely check that out. I forget, what deck is everybody playing? Ogpear's playing the Thoughtseize, Takima. He's playing Rakdos Sack. Vamp is playing. Vamp, what are you playing? Tell me. That way I don't have to look. And Kinetic is playing Rattle Chain, Snow Covered Island, Ascended Spirits versus Fatal Push, Blood Crypt. Another sack. So it's three sacks and a spirit. Looks like. Interesting. All right, then. Well, good luck to you all. I can't wait to see who wins. But that's going to kind of do it, unless you got something else, my brother.
Nope, that's all I got.
Look at that. We're coming in right at 59 minutes, man. That is called skill. End step. And as we go to end step, and Aramis and I start picking up our cards, rolling up our playmats, and taking our pizza box over to the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work in this Sam Goody store. We want to remind you that we have a Twitch channel where we stream all sorts of content. Look up the Planeswalkers Podcast channel on Twitch. There you're going to see all the shows we do on both Magic as well as other geeky games. I play Minecraft a little bit. You know, anything could show up there. And you can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
And if you'd like to interact with us in a more real-time fashion, you can go to our Discord. It's discord.planeswalkerspodcast.com. If you want to enter our winner box tournaments, have to be in the Discord. Although I guess, well, yeah, you'll still have to be in the Discord, even though I think we'll be changing up how we do them in the future. And then also, if you want to play in Commander Craft, got to be the Discord. It's a great community. A lot of really great people on there to talk about Magic or other things going on in the world. And if Twitter is more your speed, we tweet occasionally. Generally, when we're going live, and usually if something really important happens that we feel like we have to talk about right away, you can find us on Twitter now. And the show's on Twitter now. So you can find us at Plains Talker Pod.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at WR Benson. I'm really on there to only follow my favorite player of all time, Ricky Williams. And of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/Plains Talker, like and follow our page. Don't forget as well, we do have our playcast this Wednesday where yours truly is the champion right now. I am the commander champion of Commander Craft, playing the first sliver. So Aramis and everybody else will come with their level 8 or higher deck to kind of take me down. You're not going to want to miss that. Tune in Wednesdays at 7, and if you want to play, hop into the Discord. We got 2 seats open right now. Those are reserved for patrons until tomorrow morning, and then they're open to anybody. Just hang out with us there, but check us out on Wednesday. It's Commander Craft. It's playing Commander, and it's amazing.
And finally, you can send us an email if you have a question about the show or maybe a suggestion about a topic that you'd want us to cover, or really anything else that you want to talk about. We'll read it on air if it's interesting or even if it's boring. One way or the other, it will be read. The email for both of us is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you'd like to email one of us individually, you can email Will. His address is will@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you'd like to email me, the address is Aramis, A-R-A-M-I-S, at planestalkerspodcast.com.
And on that note, we want to thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight, listening and joining in the fun. We will be back next Monday with our 150th show. Now, we're not going to do the call-in show this week, so we'll just be back with a regular show on Monday where we talk about all sorts of Commander stuff, as well as Wednesday night. Don't forget, Commander Craft will be here where we play Paper Commander. And don't forget to go to your local game store this Friday for pre-release funness. So for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you for being listeners. Thank you for coming alongside us. And thank you so much for just being you. And don't forget, remember to save some of your mana and keep it untapped because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a great week. Bye-bye now. And Juju works.